ask questions for Gary.
Questions are...
Are there any more questions?
I know the answer, but I don't know if Gary's going to give the answer.
You need to get to your microphone.
Are you able to talk about some of the products on the market that... Because it's quite an impressive list, I know.
I asked this question before I left, and the only one that I can talk about because we know about it, and we don't always know about all of them unless they really come from.
Can you repeat the question?
Can I talk about what products these parts are in? And if we're talking specifically about the dual low cost product, the 5263, the only one that I can talk about is this Zoom F1 portable recorder. Though there are a number of other design wins, they're just not out in the marketplace yet. For the higher end parts, you know, there's Apogee and Crane Song and sort of these high end preamp guys. Also, the new, I can't remember the model number, the new top of the line Sony mixing console that's just rolled out this year has our parts in it. As well as there's a Mackie product, the DL32 that uses our parts. And I'm forgetting a lot of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, if I could...
Yeah, you probably know more than I do. You were doing the marketing
stuff. Well, yeah. And you're not under NDA now.
I don't know if I... I don't think I ever signed an NDA. I think I can...
I'm screwed now.
And I'm on Vicodin right now, so wow, we can have some fun. Yeah, no, Gary's a very humble man, but I believe he's one of the most gifted analog designers in our industry, and I really mean that. It was quite an education working at that corp for 4 years, and what I was really amazed by was that, you know, my job was basically to go visit all these pro audio companies and convince them that this weird old analog chip company had something to sell them. And when you go somewhere, you know, like Apogee, where, you know, Lucas is very proud of his abilities, and the industry has treated him very well and try to convince him that he should use Gary's mic preamp instead of his own, and then have him test it and play with it and beat on it and grill Gary and come out actually using it is quite a testimony to that corp and its engineering. And that happened, I mean, I don't know if I can say all these companies, you know, the big Japanese companies. Well, I was at Yamaha. The Yamaha guys grilled us mercilessly, and man, I mean, I think that was probably the toughest due diligence I went through. And I don't actually know if they ended up using the part or not, but they
did. But it took forever. I mean, that console has just rolled out this year.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, you know, not here to endorse different products or whatever, but that engineering team over there is pretty badass. And again, I mean, every single time that I was involved, you know, that corp won. You know, these parts are really good. And they take an awful long time to get to market, too. I mean, I've been out for 4 years, and this is the next part, right? So,
yeah, it's been out maybe since late last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know that the industry really believes in that corporation. It's an awesome group of people and great product. And
Thanks
for being here. I sound like sucking up, aren't I? But, I mean, it's the one of the last remaining, you know, real pro audio technology companies out there. So much of it's been shipped out east, and nobody even knows how stuff's being designed anymore.
It affects us as well. To know where those engineers are.
Yeah. I don't need to sit here and blow on that. Thank you for being here, Gary. This is a real treat. Yeah, that's a question.
Not to belabor a dead horse, but I totally do not understand that 150-ohm noise spec, because you first showed it, and it said 150 ohms minus 130-some dB, and then you showed later 150 ohms minus 128 dB, and then you said you qualified it, but it still is 150 ohms. Why isn't it 160 dB?
The first number was the noise of the resistor by itself.
Yeah.
The second number was the noise of that resistor, and added to that was the noise of our preamp. So the additional noise of our preamp increased the noise total by a couple of dB, and that's a sort of an indication of goodness.
So when you say the resistor is the noise, it's the noise a resistor would make in a circuit. right? Basically, is that the story?
Yeah, it has noise.
Yeah. No, it's the noise that the resistor makes hanging in free air.
Right.
At a specific temperature.
If you had a big enough resistor, you could power a light bulb.
You can use it as a noise source. You take high valued resistors and.
So is that the impedance of that?
It's the noise. It's a voltage that appears across the resistor just sitting there by itself.
So when a microphone says it's a 150 ohm microphone, that's something completely different.
It says it has a noise equivalent to 150 ohms, or that it was designed to work. Well, as a 150 ohm source, but not drive.
And that's why it's called thermal noise, is because the actual atom molecules are bouncing around.
That part makes sense to me, but a microphone you buy says it's a 150 ohm microphone, or it's a 200 ohm microphone.
And if that's an accurate reflection of its output impedance, its noise can't be any lower than the noise of that resistance.
Okay.
Now, typically, it might be a little higher, but...
The other thing is, it can be the drive. It can say it'll drive 150 ohm load, but it might be a 5 ohm output impedance with an active device.
It's only passive microphones where you can sort of judge their noise from the output impedance spec. The active stuff, the noise is typically much higher.
Okay, so you cannot automatically.
You cannot do that calculation for active stuff at all.
And that's why I understand 150 ohm is often used in talking about micros, because it's a typical output impedance of a microphone.
It once was, anyway. And actually, in Europe, they typically use 200 ohms. And from what we found, more microphones are closer to that than 150.
I see. So that number doesn't relate to how efficiently it can drive a line or whatever. And a high impedance mic is way noisier by definition than a low impedance mic.
Yep. Has to be.
In addition to not being able to drive as long line.
Correct.
That's a separate issue.
Aren't
they correlated?
Yeah.
It is related to the impedance, because if you try and hang a long cable, that's a lot of capacitance, and when you have a high source impedance, it's going to roll off. And those are typically, aren't they usually single-ended? That may be a whole other part of the story. But
sometimes they'll have a little inductance too, which can really get interesting.
A little
inductance in them, which can get really interesting sometimes.
So a long time ago, we were looking at microphones, and there were, and I still think there are, some 600 ohm dynamic microphones out there.
Yep. Sure.
The Japanese did that a lot.
Yes.
So those are noisier.
Yes.
Yeah. They're good enough for Western LA.
Think of what we could do if we could put the lead singer at absolute zero. Think of what we could do if we could put the lead singer at absolute zero.
Yeah.
Depending on the band, that might be.
It might be a bonus, not a bug, a feature.
An improvement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah.
After coming all this way, is anyone going to use the park?
Yeah, who's going to design it in? So I can go back and report to marketing that this trip was worth it.
You need a note from us?
That would work.
Our secretary would be happy to write it.
So I know at least one design that uses the micro chip, but then uses, I believe, discrete switches instead of the switch that we just looked at.
You mean actual mechanical switches?
No, I think it's...
Relays or something?
No, it's probably like FETs or something.
Oh, discrete FETs, okay.
And then, as you mentioned, some people were using their own micro, but then using your...
Our controller, yeah. That's probably the most common if they don't use both, the most common thing is for people to have their own preamp circuit and use our controller.
So this is getting, I guess, a little bit off of the main topic, but I'm just wondering if you could speak to maybe if you feel that those designs are successful, or if that's or how that might compare to using the chipset that you guys provide.
Well,
I'm on the spot with that.
I know at least a couple of them. They're very, very good. And you know, you can do quieter preamps than we do if you throw more power at it, and often they do. And don't know that anybody's really driven the distortion down much more than our parts, but they might have. I don't have samples of any of these things, and they're expensive.
Sure.
The ones I know about are Crane Song, there's several Apogee products. There's another one I can't think of. It's one of these high premium companies.
What?
But they all have their own sort of approaches. And at least one of them uses our transistor arrays as the front end and do their own discrete preamp. Are they successful? If they sell for their company, they're successful.
Sure.
I think the goal varies from company to company. Lucas at Apogee is trying to just make as clean a preamp as he can make. That's not always the case with some of these other companies. They're not necessarily looking to make the cleanest. They're maybe sometimes adding color. They want their own mojo.
Your mic might be too low distortion.
Might be. Given that we were trying to, serve as broad a market as possible, because that's the only way you can possibly make it work in semiconductors, clean was the way to go. But we have, there's at least one customer that uses, like, their products are out, so I can talk about this. Focusrite, uses our parts. But, their engineers have occasionally said, your stuff is great, but could you put some hooks in so we could, mess with it and make it, make it sound a little worse sometimes? We'd like to have some controls.
Or distortion now.
Kind of, yeah. Well, we know that that's been done.
In your mic survey, was that a data sheet survey or did you do a measurement survey?
No, that was just me on the web looking at data sheets. So take all that data with a grain of salt.
So it's not... I just keep asking questions, for us. It's not mic pre-related, but you guys do the analog engines and those sorts of things. Do you do any kind of digital control type solutions for those currently, or is there a way that?
No, I mean there have been customers that have done that. Certainly, the most common thing is they'll buy a VCA from us and whatever sidechain for whatever dynamic function they're doing is done in some little micro. That's pretty common.
Yeah, I see. And then they just have like an analog out that drives the VCA.
Exactly. Yeah. So PWM output and filter it and bring it down to the appropriately low level to drive one of our VCA control ports. There's a number of examples of that sort of thing.
Well, I'm going to stop because this will turn into a design meeting.
And I do have an early flight in the morning.
Thank you.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, folks. Thanks a lot.
Talk to me about the swap meet, please.
Sure. Yes. Thanks again for coming. It's always a pleasure.
I'm glad to be here. I haven't done one of these in a really long time. I did a little Boston championship.
Anyone else want to be here? Renee?
Nope. I'm going to hang for a bit. I actually don't want to talk to you about the boundary. research.
Okay.
What volumes would be interesting to have you take?
Well, it's really not a volume of parts as it is dollars. So,
right.
I think though, that it's probably
okay, cool. And that would be sales volume or EAU, basically. Okay. You know what I'm thinking. So,
I mean, the only exception would be if it's kind of like a metal mask, single mask change.
So a whole new chip design would probably not make that something you're not.
No, in fact, a whole custom would have to
be $500. All right, that definitely made it out.
Thank you.
Okay. Sweet. That's it. You're thinking.
All right.
Yeah.
I
Well, it depends. I mean, if you want to do low-volume dress stuff for Moses, it's not bad. But what I was thinking, you heard...
like 25 decks.
Exactly. But it, yeah, that's not bad.
I'll take several, because there are always blanks, or what's fun to one up, so, you know, it's like a whole series.
You want to be in it?
No. There, now they're all smiling. I get them to smile, see?
Photographer's assistant.
He's the cheese factor.
All right, one of those has got to work.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah,
Great to see you, man.
Please do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thanks.
Well, I'm glad he came.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so like Curtis Electric Music. Curtis Electric Music was one of the first two companies that did synthesizers besides audio ICs. It was SSM, which was and then there was Curtis Electric Music, which was done by Curtis. And
actually, this is Asian
devices. What do
we got? It's new.
Yeah,
she went and
I'm
going to head up to Bill Moses. Y'all have a great night. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They're running 30 or 40.
We're going to keep the data.
Congratulations, you're going to win, but you're a lock now.
We want Steve.
The universe makes a set list here. Put your thumb on the scale.
It's a little more.